Lauren, do you want to go out with her and just, I'm just kidding. Carrie. All right, so have you all been reading your Bibles? Okay, good. Whew, I almost fell over, but that's good. That was a quick response. I had a chance to fall over, but I didn't. Well, that's good. I hope that you have read in Isaiah or listened in Isaiah or somehow reflected in on Isaiah. And because we're going to close that out this week and prepare our hearts and minds for revival, please, I hope that you will make it a priority. If you're going to eat with us, it'll be a good time of fellowship outside. We will be... I don't know where I'm standing, but anyway, behind, it's over here, okay. I still don't know, you know, I come up the stairs and I'm not sure where I'm going to come up and I don't know why. It's because I just don't use the energy to think, but over here in the backyard of the parsonage slash office, we'll be back there. There'll be tents and tables, and so I'd encourage you to come and eat with us at starting at 5, and we did that so the kids could play outside as well, but also so we had the fresh air to kill off the COVID. And so anyway, and then we'll be in here for services. There will be kids services as well as nursery. And so I'd encourage you to come and be a part. And I'm really excited to hear Pastor Lamoris. And my prayer is that you're going into revival prepared and ready, and that you're ready for the new work that the Lord wants to do in your heart. And today we're going to look at King Ahaz, and he was not prepared for a new work. In fact, he was prepared to continue to do what he always did, which was rely on himself and others outside of Christ. And church, if we were honest with ourselves, at times we do the same thing. We prepare secondary plans so that if God's plan doesn't work out, we've got a plan. And that's not how God calls his people. In fact, all through the Word, God condemns that. He doesn't like that. He wants us to fully commit and trust in him. And that is the only way that we can sing the words, "It is well with my soul." Because if we're partially committed, then we're partially not committed. And when we're partially not committed, we are working about un-kingdom business, non-kingdom business. And so today, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 25. And if you would, turn there with me this morning. And if you would, stand as well. Now, most of you should say, "Oh, I know Isaiah chapter 7. That's the Christmas verse." Are you all with me here? Okay. Whew, you said you read the word, but now you're, okay, that's all right. Let's start in verse 1. "In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it." So all you need to know there is not the names, but war is coming against God's people. "But could not yet mount and attacked against it." That's the key. Today, "but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, 'Syria is in a league with Ephraim,' the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people," get this, "shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." Meaning God's people shook over the impending enemy coming. "And the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Sheshbaz, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear.'" Now, many of you can do the first and the third, but the "be quiet," that's a whole nother, I struggle with that. "And do not let your heart be faint." We know these scriptures, right? "And do not let your heart be troubled because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, 'Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabel as king in the midst of it.' Thus says the Lord God." Here we go. "It shall not stand." Whatever it is that you face today, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. "For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And with 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." Then there goes on to be a sign, and then you're going to see in verse 13, and tonight, if you've got the small group study, you're going to be deep tonight. "And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to be weary, men? that you weary, my God, also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you today, and we pray today that your power and presence would come through your word. We ask today, God, that you would work in a special and unique way and prepare our hearts to receive revival, to be revived, to be renewed. God, we love you. We pray against the enemy today in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would be with us. Let these words be your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So again, we see God using Isaiah. Now, I didn't finish the other part because you know what's happening there. What needs to be understood here is that Isaiah was giving a message from God that was not just for the present, because Ahaz doubted, and so he went on and gave an even bigger and more futuristic plan to remind the people that, hey, God has this. The message here was to depend on him for victory. How often do we depend on him, but at the same time, we have something else going on just in case? Now, I'm not saying in life that you shouldn't have a secondary plan in case something comes about, but church, we have to get past when God gives us a spoken word, creating another spoken word just in case God's spoken word doesn't work. And this is who King Ahaz was. We also know, and we got to get him a little bit of slack, he got into the kinghood or kingship at age 20. I don't know, are most of you, were you ready at 20 to take on? Some of you would say, absolutely, I was ready at 10, but he probably wasn't ready. They also said, Isaiah said, that you must have faith in God's message in order for victory to come. And again, as we go through here, you're going to see and you're going to study tonight that King Ahaz created a separate plan to make sure that just in case, and see, that's not how God calls us to be. All right, y'all ever been in a crisis? If you haven't, it's coming, okay? And so if you're a child in here with us today or youth, you say, I haven't really had, well, you'll get through a crisis. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, and Ahaz should have asked himself, is this really a crisis? If Isaiah came and said, peace be with you, fear not, why are you trembling? God Almighty is with us. Think about this kingdom. This is the kingdom of David. This is like a David kingdom. It has the same promises that were given to David. And here he's getting a message directly from the Lord. And still yet, he feels as though he's in crisis. Well, how often do we have a crisis or we create a crisis that really isn't a crisis? Y'all never done that before? Ask my wife. I create crises where there aren't any. And then where there are some, she's like, why weren't you worried about that crisis? But your mind was on that crisis. And you can really mess yourselves up if you... If you agree, say amen. I think you've all probably done it. Sometimes we get ourselves into a crisis, and it's often of our own making. We've created it. We have formulated it. You ever take a thought, or you ever take something that someone says, and before you know it, 3 days later, it's 30 times bigger than what they said, and the problem is so much bigger than you get with the person later on, and it's like, wait a minute. I had myself. This is Ahaz. He's looking to the distance. How often do we look to the distance and crisis is coming and we get ourselves up in a tizzy? Church, this is why am I saying all this? We've got to understand that he is not much different than many of us today, including myself. What happens is most of the things that we call a crisis are actually a crisis of faith, not actually a crisis. But a crisis of trusting God fully in the midst of the circumstances. You ever been full of hot air? Yeah, my dad, I know that's an old saying, but my dad always said, you're full of hot air. Now I know that's true. I didn't at the time. I thought everything I said had value, but it doesn't now. And so I was full of hot air. And I think here what you're going to see, and I encourage you tonight to look at the background of what was happening, because Ahaz was going to the big ruler of the day and saying, hey, would you back us up? Hey, if I send you this gift from the temple of God, why would you send the enemy a gift from the temple of God? Will you see and have favor on us? See, he was setting up as he was listening. And guess what? Isaiah's smart. And he knew what was going on. It's why he said, Behold, Emmanuel is coming. You better straighten up. God said, I will give you a sign. See, the problem is maybe we don't want to know what God has to say in our crisis. Maybe Ahaz said, I don't really want to be like David. I don't want to really have that kind of heart, that kind of humbleness. You know, we can say a lot of things about David, but my goodness, David's heart broke even for his enemies, even for those that came after him. And now you've got this young king who wants to ignore, and see, many of us want to ignore the ways and the will and the plans and the word of the Lord. So our crisis remains a crisis. And how many of us really want to live in a state of crisis? But see, there's freedom from crisis. In fact, I think most of the time, the freedom comes in our mind. Because probably 50% of the crises that we create in our minds don't come to be. God's appeal for us here is to take courage because of what is to come. Now see, it's hard for us in our humanness because we don't want to look to what's to come, which is Jesus coming through the clouds or us passing away and going on to be with him. And we've got to keep that in our minds because the time that we spent here is nothing compared to the time that we will spend outside of here. And what did Isaiah do? Well, hey, you want to go prepare another plan? Well, let me tell you what else God had to say. Emmanuel is coming. The King of Kings is coming. And he's going to come in a crazy, humble way. Your resolution is coming if you'll trust the Lord. Your resolution, if you'll let yourselves just put it aside, put your thoughts and your theories and put it aside and receive God's thoughts and theories, you would be able to take courage in the immediate and in the future. Because God is always speaking in the immediate, but he's always preparing us for the future. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The whole word of God is preparing us for the future all the way to the end of the... You say, well, I don't understand Revelation anyway. Well, you don't need to, but what you need to know is that he's preparing us for, and if we'll remain faithful, he'll be with us in the immediate, and he'll also show us a glimpse into the future. Which means the crisis that you're in today, if you'll take courage and stand firm and say, you know what, I'm going to release those things out of my mind. I'm going to release those thoughts to the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord's plan. Then he's not only going to bless you and move in and through you in the immediate, he is going to do the same for your future. Many of us have a hard time with this. See, what's happening here is we have to trust in God's word. Isaiah was saying, trust God's word. It will not happen. Now, if God were to speak to me today, he would say, listen to your wife, because oftentimes she says, it will not happen. Relax. You ever been there? You should see the way I worry about my children. If one of my daughters says one thing, I turn to my wife and say, does she still believe it? I start studying my words, and we're going to spend an hour in the word tonight instead of a half an hour. Like, we're going all in. Because I get a little panicky. Why? Because I am concerned about my kids' faith. I want them to love the Lord more than anything else. When they ask us, what is it that you want us to do? Or what do you think I just want you to be Christ-like and to love Jesus. Whatever else you decide to do, God bless you, I'll support you. Imagine if more parents in the church did that. Stopped worrying about their career path and getting on it because they weren't what they thought they would be. If they love Christ, y'all should celebrate because eternity is going to be with you and them. So you're going to get more time than you have now with them. And Isaiah says, it will not happen. Church, we have to trust God's word. If it says that he's coming, well, then he's coming. If it says to keep your hearts pure, then we have to trust God's presence. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Now here's what's tremendous. Now here's what I think we forget as Christians. Now Ahaz flipped it, and if you further study, you'll realize he wasn't flipping it because he was being Christ-like and saying, hey, we shouldn't test God. No, God said, test me. When God says to you, I want you to ask me, then ask him. If he asks you to do it, he doesn't do it out of sarcasm. Isaiah wasn't giving him that word and saying, ask whatever you will and it shall. The verse says, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol. Come on, theologians. As deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Which meant the Lord God Almighty was ready to say to Ahaz, whatever it's going to take for you to stop creating the second plan, I'm going to tell you. That's big. Meaning stop creating your plan B and stand with your plan A, which is Christ, and he will answer you. But Ahaz turned it around and said, well, I don't want to. Well, then that fumed Isaiah up. See, we don't realize that actually this spoken Emmanuel, the scripture that we read at Christmas, was Isaiah's strong, in fact, very strong and firm response from God to him, not asking for some more proof. So he gave it to him anyway. You ever have people like that? You don't ask, but they give it to you anyway. They want to give you your opinion, and then they, well, this is poor Isaiah right here. He say, oh, you don't want to ask? Well, let me tell you. Trust God's judgment. The rest of this chapter deals with the judgment that's going to come if they don't trust God. Church, there are people here today that we can hold on to the first two, but then when it comes to its judgment, we don't want anything to do with that. We don't want to know that when we're disobedient, it leads to... We have to trust in God's word, his presence, and his judgment. Because as good as a discerner as you are, God's even better. Let's think about this for a second. You know, when you make a deal, and this is just an old saying, right? When you make a deal with the devil, you made a deal with the devil, right? All the movies show that and all of that. But Ahaz made a deal with the enemy, the greatest enemy, the Assyrian leader, housed at Nineveh. Right there should be a cue to us. Probably not a place that he should be making deals or sending products from the temple of God to, but he does it anyway. And see, when we do it anyway, we don't expect the aftermath. But guess what? The aftermath is coming. Because he already prepared, spoken, and got us set up. And then we decided to... When opportunities arise, who do we trust? And who do we evaluate what that after, or how do we evaluate that aftermath? Church, you've got to ask yourself, who do you really trust? We love to quote scripture, trust in the Lord with all. We want to say it this way, trust the Lord. Right? It's easier that way. Because then I can trust in the Lord and my plan, or my husband's plan, or my family's plan, or my society's plan. And yet the scripture says, if you want to not experience the aftermath of separation from God, then you need to trust with all. See, Isaiah was saying, why don't you get this? God, I mean, what's great is that I want to give you a little bit of a picture. Here's God's people. He was all worried, and guess what happened? They just ran right around him and said, we're not up for that right now. Kind of in the language they use. It was very simple. We're not really up for that right now. We're going to go around, and I wonder how Ahaz felt as they traveled around. Oh, the Lord really kind of knew what he was talking about. How often do we see after the fact that we should have just, after the fact, we should have been careful how we treated the church, because the church is Jesus Christ. After the fact, we should have been careful with our words. After the fact, we should have let our kids just choose a profession in hopes they'll choose Christ. The after fact of, well, I guess I shouldn't have gone down that. What it does is it opens up a world that I don't know that we're ready for. A world where the enemy, who doesn't actually like you, no matter how you convince yourself or how you think you can get out of it when you get into it. See, many of us already have a plan on how to get out of it if we have to use it. Well, then I can just, Ahaz already sent the gifts. The dude already accepted them. And he already said, All right. I'll stand with you. If he's willing to give up from the temple of the Almighty God, well, sure. Think about it. When you're willing to give up from the temple of the Almighty God, which as you sit is you, why wouldn't the enemy take that? Come on now, church. This is a future word. Isaiah is a word for us. Isaiah spoke about the coming king. Isaiah spoke about the temple, and the temple is you. If you don't stand firm in your faith, Isaiah says, you actually don't stand at all. Now, we don't like that word. We don't like when Isaiah says that, because you mean every, we have to all, yeah. The scripture tells us to trust the Lord with all. He also says, and I love this, you ever have to calm down? Don't you love when people tell you to calm down? Y'all worked up and they come in and say, why don't you, what? You don't tell me, you're not my. But when God comes in and says, calm down. Get yourself together, relax. They're going to just scoot around you because my presence is there. Because you're a part of the line of David. See, you see all this works together. Don't you love how the word just, and now I'm going to remind you through Isaiah's word that there's a coming king in the line of David, and you're a part of that, so calm down. You think those little armies are going to stop? Now, if you study enough, you'll know these armies weren't little. And comparatively speaking, when you put the two together, they were way stronger. But guess what? They weren't stronger then. And guess what's not stronger now? See, God doesn't need to outnumber the army. God just needs his presence to be there. And right there, the army, the crisis, the situation, the scenario you're in is already smaller than. Don't be afraid. And Isaiah doesn't say this, but I added it. God's got this. Meaning God's got you. You, and see, Isaiah was saying, you, Ahaz, are an inheritor of God's promise to the line of David. And guess what, church? You are still inheritors of that same line of David because of Jesus Christ. And so we get to stand on the same promises that Isaiah presents to us. So think about this. Two last things. What if the current crisis you are gripped in is just the crisis in which God is using to expose the source of your total trust? Oftentimes, God has already worked it out for those that live faithfully. If we'll just say, verse 13 is a great reminder. And this is the reminder. Isaiah changes the terminology from your God to no longer saying your God. See, I don't think we read the Bible real well sometimes, do we? Especially when it means, when our lack of faithfulness, God says, okay, no longer is this for you. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Read verse 13. You'll see he goes from talking to Ahaz as this is your God. Ahaz goes and makes another plan, and then Isaiah says, oh, well, here's God's word, and it's for the people of. What happens? And see, this is when we get into revival. As we step into this time of renewal, he wants to be able to come to us personally. He wants us to be able to say, you are my God. Ahaz denied him. And then Isaiah said, now this word is no longer for you. Church, there's moments in our lives where the Lord has to surpass us because we just won't. He'll be ready for us when we get back to him. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But sometimes the plan, the intentions, the hope, it's still going to go on. God's kingdom is still going to, generations are still going to have the opportunity to. And if he has to surpass you, because you won't completely trust him in and out of crisis, then the language is going to go from your God to the God. And when you're ready to get back to your God, let me know. This is what Isaiah is saying here. It's why the terminology changes. It's why he then gives a word for everyone, because it obviously wasn't sticking in the heart of Ahaz. And the question today is it sticking in your heart? It is sticking so much so that every other gets fed through the... And the question as we step into revival is, who is really your Lord in and out of crisis? Because if you're not in one, which we're all kind of in one together, right? A pandemic puts everybody in one. God, today, oh God, we trust you. We love you. God, I pray today that as we read, as we're intimate with you, as we study, as we journey, as we walk in your presence, that God, we would be able to say that we trust you in and out of crisis. Prepare our hearts for revival. Prepare our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our families for a time of renewal. We trust you today. We love you. We pray that you'd go out and be in our classes, that you'd engage us and be with us. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. If you're not a part of Sunday school, today's a great day to start.